happy Christians or happy people, or we could just say happy, happy, happy. Amen. As a Christian, that's the way that you should be. Amen. When anybody sees you, you should be the happiest person around. You say, well, things aren't always just hunky-dory, or things aren't just always going great in my life, Pastor, and it's hard to be happy. Well, you know, I often think about that when people tell me. I recall Paul and Silas in that old Philippian prison. Hey, man, singing praises and praising and worshiping God. Amen. They had a worship service. Amen. And Josh, don't worry about what people say about singing. Amen. God wants to hear you sing. Amen. And as long as you're singing to God, that's all that matters anyway. Amen. The rest of us just get to enjoy it along the way. Amen. And, you know, there's a song my wife, she always wanted me to learn it and sing it with her, and I never did. And I think it's kind of made her mad sometimes. But God wants to hear you sing. Amen. And I just never could get it out right and on that soundtrack and junk. We probably should have just sung it ourselves, but praise God. That's it. God just wants to hear you sing. Amen. He just wants to hear you sing. Even if you don't sing on the outside, he can hear when you're singing on the inside. But praise God, he loves to hear the praises of your lips when you're singing on the outside. Amen. Happy people is what we ought to be. The Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 10, verse number 1. And when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices and very much gold and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom, and the house that he had built, and the meat of his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers, and their apparel, and his cupbearers, and his ascent by which he went up to the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. And she said to the king, "It was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. Happy are thy men. Happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee and bear and hear, thy wisdom." Brother Jim Cato, would you take us to the throne of grace tonight? Afternoon, you know, this morning, folks were going out, and they said, most folks said it was a good message this morning, and I believe with all my heart, it's the message that God had intended for this morning. It's a question that needs to be asked in our churches today, and we need to get back to preaching the Bible instead of quit trying to have a pep group here at the church house and preaching the truth. Folks are hurting. Folks are going to hell. Folks are dying. Because preachers want to beat around the bush about things. Praise God, sin is sin, and sin is destroying, and sin is tearing folks apart and tearing lives apart. And it's a glorious thing when you hear a message about the curses and the damage that sin does in our lives, but the promises and the help that God brings our way if we'll just follow Him. So the question will still always be the same. What you going to do? Amen. When God has laid everything out plainly and clearly in His Word, let me tell you what I'm going to follow Him. Amen. I want to go. So I said, well, I hope you have something a little bit happier tonight. Well, that was pretty happy. Amen. When God said, if you'll do what I tell you to do, He said, I'm going to have a blessing for you. Amen. I'm going to watch over and keep you. But He said, if you don't do what I tell you to do, you're going to find yourself in problems. Amen. Hey, there's nothing poor and there's nothing mean about that. I didn't preach it mean spirited. I don't know, was I mean spirited? Did I look mean when I was preaching it? I didn't intend for it to be that way. I wanted it to be an encouragement. But we need to make a choice. What are we going to do with Jesus? Amen. What you going to do? Amen. And then tonight, God just laid this message on my heart. And he laid it on my heart for the church tonight. He laid it on my heart for God's people tonight. And I tell you what, I'm thankful for the message he's given me. Can I throw a commercial in here right now? I told somebody I would announce it. Brother Andy Parrott texted me yesterday. He said, if you know anybody that was going to Lighthouse Christian Academy that hasn't found any place to enroll their kids, they still got some openings, and their thing is called Holiness Christian Academy, and they still got some openings there. If you know anybody looking for a place to get their kids in a Christian influence school or academy someplace, and I think that's important that we stand to our word. I told him I would announce that, and I didn't this morning, and I wanted to make sure I announced it tonight. So please take that to heart. Please take consideration to that. And please realize tonight that we're here just to glorify God. Amen. We're here to worship him because of what he's done. Because of the promises that he's made. Because of the promises that he's kept. The promises that he's keeping in our lives daily. Do you realize that every day I walk with Jesus, there's untold promises that he's made in his word that he's keeping for me? The same for you. And you know what? There's promises that are yet in the future. Amen. That I'm looking forward to. That ought to be enough to make you want to shout the house down. Amen. Not just because of what he did when he saved you and what he's done for you through the years. But if that's not enough, just think about what he's promised you and what's awaiting for you in the glory world. That ought to make you just get excited about Jesus. The Queen of Sheba, she heard about Solomon and she heard about all his glory and all his prosperity and all his wealth and his wisdom. And she come, and the Bible says, to try him. She come to test him is what it was. And you know what? The Bible says, just taste and see if the Lord is good. If you'll just try Jesus, amen, you'll find out he's better than anything the world has to offer. Amen. That's the message that we need to keep preaching. That's the message that we need to keep telling the world. I tell you what, the pity parties in the pep groups ain't going to help anybody. But praise God, Jesus, I can help him. Jesus can make a difference. Jesus can change them and get them to the place where they need to be. The Queen of Sheba, she wanted to try something. She wanted to check something out. And praise God, she come down and she checked old Solomon out. And when she said, when she got ready to leave, she said, "What? Woe to half had not been told." Amen. Let me tell you something. I can't even begin to tell you the half of what Jesus has done in my life. Amen. I can't tell you the half of how good that he's been to me. And then Jesus speaking, and this is where I want to go. Jesus speaking over in Matthew chapter 12 and verse number 42. He says, "And the queen of the south shall rise up in judgment with this generation, and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. Behold, a greater than Solomon is here." Amen. Hey, if she got down there in Solomon's time in Jerusalem and seen what was going on, and she got all thrilled about what was happening down there, I think we can think about Jesus and our relationship with him, and we ought to get happy because of what he's done for us. Amen. Look at a few things. I got seven things, 7 points. My land, 7 points. We're going to be there at midnight. He ain't never going to get up. Praise God, it shouldn't be long. We won't be no longer than Jesus will have us be here. Amen. Look in verse number 8. It says, "Happy are thy men. Happy are these thy servants which stand continually before you." You know what ought to make you happy tonight? You know what ought to make you shout the house down tonight? Is you're his. Amen. You're his. She said, "Happy are thy men. Happy are thy servants." I don't know about you tonight, but just knowing and just realizing and just believing that I'm one of his is enough to make me want to shout. Hallelujah. Amen. It's enough to make you want to get excited. It's enough to make you want to do a little something to let the Lord know that you're happy, that you are one of his. Amen. You're happy that you bear his name. You're happy that you bear his likeness. You're happy that people can look at you and identify you with him. Praise God. That ought to put a spark in your can, amen, and get something fired up in you. Amen. Look in verse number 4. Amen. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all of Solomon's wisdom and the house which he had built, amen, you know what? My Savior told me that I'm not a part of this country down here. Over in 1 Peter chapter number 2 and verse number 11, we will study. Man, if you miss the adult Sunday school class here, you miss a blessing. Amen. Am I lying? We have a great time. We're not worried about how fast we get. Man, we just stop and we'll park. We might stay on a verse one or 2 weeks. We'll stay there a month if we need to. Amen. But he said this morning, he said, I beseech you as pilgrims and strangers. You know what? You know what makes me happy? Is this isn't my real address. Amen. This is just a temporary place where I'm a dwelling on my way to a home that Jesus has prepared for me. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And she said, look at your house. Man, it's awesome. I want you to know something. This world's not my home. I'm just a passing through. Praise God. My address is somewhere up yonder. Amen. I don't know the name of the street. I don't know the number of the house. But praise God, I know I got a home up there, Brother Delbert. Amen. I know I got something up there to look forward to. And that ought to make you happy as a child of God to realize and to know if you lose everything that this world has to offer, it don't matter because you have everything that heaven wants to give you. Amen. Amen. Just because of my permanent in my final address, amen, I ought to get happy and shout hallelujah. In verse number 5, I look at what he says, and the meat of his table. The psalmist in Psalm 23, in verse number 1, he said, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. Let me tell you something. She seen what Solomon had upon his table, but there was one greater than Solomon that stopped by one day. There was one greater than Solomon that said he would supply my every need. Amen. And my provision has been provided by him. Amen. Stop and think about all the provisions he's made for you along the way. Amen. Sister Nancy, stop and think about them ball joints. Think about the provision that God made for you. He had you at the right place at the right time. Amen. So that everything happened the way that it would need to. So that you wouldn't be in harm's way. And we complain and we mumble about it sometimes. But those things happen while I was. And then we look back later on and we realize, hey, God was watching over me. Amen. God took care of me. Brother Steve and Sister Sherry, Brother Steve shared this with us in our last ministry's night. That nice van they got out there, they was down in Mississippi. Everything was going just fine until one time the engine went, and it quit. And it quit. Him and his whole family way down there in that forsaken place. Amen. In that foreign land. Wanting to get back to the promised land. Amen. And God, amen, had already made provision that he wasn't even aware of. Amen. God had already done something that he didn't know God had already done. And what did that thing wind up costing you? $7,000 or something like that? $55 for the engine. Amen. $5,500 to get an engine put in this thing. And Steve been trying to save money to get a roof put on the house. He didn't know how he was going to do that and get his roofs are leaking in the house. The house is going to fall down and the van's broke down. Praise God, what am I going to do? And guess what? He calls Sister Sherry. Now Brother Steve's up at his parents' house. Sister Sherry, she's way down there. Amen. Way in the most forsaken part. Gulfport. Amen. I mean, that's about as far south and as far west as you get in Mississippi. Amen. She was way down there. And they're talking on the phone. And Brother Steve's pouring out his heart and is sharing the problem that they had. And Sister Sherry said, you know what? God's done made provision. Amen. God's done supplied the need. And he didn't even know that God had done me. Isn't that the way God works sometimes? You don't know that he's made provision until you open the cupboard and you find out there's nothing there but a cruse of oil. You find out there's nothing there but a little barrel of meal. And praise God, he puts his blessing on it and he sustains you and he provides for you. And you go without want and you go without need and you go without anything lacking in your life. And the world looks at you and say, you don't have anything. Amen. You say, well, I got Jesus. Amen. That's all that I need. Amen. She looked at the table. She seen the provision that was set before him and the meat of his table. And let me tell you what, the world can't give you anything compared to what God can give you. Amen. The world can't supply anything for you compared to what the world has for you. And look at what he said next. In verse number 5, she said, and the meat of his table and the sitting of his servants. Amen. Look at where he's been placed. Look at where we are in Jesus. Amen. He said, look, she's seen the meat of the table. Amen. God has provided abundantly, exceedingly and abundantly above all that you could ask or think. God has provided. And then she looked at the sitting of his servants. Praise God, look where they were. They weren't out in the world begging. Amen. They were sitting at the king's table. They weren't out in the world any longer. Praise God. They didn't have to dwell down in Lodibar anymore. Just like old Mephibosheth. Amen. He was hiding out in Lodibar. But they brought him to the king's house. And when he got to the king's house, the king said, you're going to eat at my table. And when he got to the king's house, the king said, you're going to be just like one of mine. And you're going to dwell before me continually. Look at where we sit with Jesus. Amen. Look over in Ephesians chapter number 2. And look at what he says. Look what he says. I ain't got the whole verse. And he says, and hath raised us up together and made us set together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Amen. You go read that whole first part of that chapter. Amen. If that don't get you stirred up, nothing will. She's seen the sitting of his servants. Amen. The world might look at me and all they might see is a beggar. The world might look at me and all they might see is a nobody. The world might look at me and I might not amount to anything in this world. We sing that song, there's a record book. There'll be no marble place. I won't get on the news unless I kill somebody or do something horrific. And sometimes I come real close, I think. But praise God. Amen. 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 Sometimes it plucks my last nerve. Amen. But because I've been sitting in heavenly places. Amen. Because he's changed where I'm sitting. He's changed my position. Amen. The world might see me as nothing. But praise God, he sees me as one of his own. Amen. The world might look at me and say he amounts to nothing. But praise God, I feast at the master's table. I got to feast a little bit Friday night. Man, what a good time we had in the Lord. Amen. I got to feast at the master's table. I got to eat the manna from on high. And praise God, it satisfied my soul. It satisfied me immensely. I got to sit there. You know what? I sat there with an old fellow come in and sit down in front of me. He had a beard just about like Calvin. He just got off work. He was filthy, stinking, dirty. Amen. Had his shirt, which was nasty. But praise God, he come in and he sat down and he worshiped. You know why? Because he wasn't worried about what anybody thought. He wasn't worried about what the world thought. He was sitting in heavenly places and feasting at the master's table. Amen. Praise God. The world would have looked at him. There's churches that would have looked at him and said, you ain't coming in here. You don't have a jacket and a tie on. You're not dignified for our assembly. Praise God. Jesus probably ain't either. Amen. He never had anything in this world to account for. And he's probably not welcome there either. But praise God. When God's people want to get themselves positioned in the right way and in the right frame of mind, you realize that we sit in heavenly places with him. Amen. Amen. And now look at what she says. And the meat of his table, verse number 5. And the sitting of his servants. And the attendance of his ministers. And their apparel. Hey, man. The old prodigal son got down in the foreign land. He got down in the hog pen. He got down to where he had nothing and nobody cared about him whatsoever. That's why I like that song, Brother Jim. Nobody ever cared for me like Jesus. Amen. When nobody cares, Jesus does. When nobody look to your needs, Jesus will. When nobody lend you a helping hand, Jesus will. When nobody will reach out to you, Jesus will say, here I am and I'm all you need. Amen. The old prodigal son. Amen. Eating in the hog pen. He was eating with the hogs. You understand that? His situation had got so bad. He was eating. He wasn't just feeding the pigs. He was eating with the pigs. Amen. And man, if you want to see what pigs look like when they eat, you come up to my place. It ain't a pretty sight. Amen. Man, I got a dairy farm up the road, and they give me milk. Sometimes they bring it down. Sometimes, as we was leaving, the boys bringing it tonight. But I went over and got it last night and come in there. They hear that truck roll in there. They hear that gator coming from the farm, and they got that milk in the back. They know that milk, so they know the sound. Amen. They know that milk's a coming, and you can't get to the slop trough fast enough to dump that milk in there. They'll jump right in the trough, and you just got to dump it right all over them. Amen. I'm telling you what. Hogs are just plumb nasty. Amen. And if the goats try to get in their food, there's one, she'll crawl right in there and she'll just spread out right in the trough. Amen. And then she'll lay down there and eat. Everybody's got to eat around her. Amen. Amen. Here's this boy, this prodigal son. He's down there eating with the hogs. And to get his little bit, he's got to fight the hogs away to get a few of the husk that he might fill his stomach so that he don't starve to death. But guess what happened? One day the Bible says he came to himself. Amen. He realized where he was. He realized what he had left behind. And he said, I'll go back home. I'll ask my father just to make me like one of his servants. He got back home. And old daddy had been watching for him. Daddy knew, I believe daddy had been praying. Daddy had been seeking God's face. And he knew that one day he was going to be coming home. And he was watching. And he was waiting. And he was anticipating. And when he got there, you know what he did? He didn't say, go clean him up. He didn't say, go wash him up. He didn't go say, make him presentable before he comes into me. He told his servants, he said, to get the best robe. Amen. I get the best robe in the house and put it on him. He said, get some shoes and put them on his feet. He said, get the ring and put them on his finger. He clothed him, amen, in royalty. He clothed him as one of his own. She looked around and she seen God's people, a picture of God's people, amen, and the garments that they wore. I'm glad the best thing I ever did do. Well, I'll tell you the best thing I ever did do. I laid off the old coat and I put on the new. The old coat was ragged and terribly worn. I thought of it often and shed many a tear. But then there was a new coat. Woo! Presented to view. I laid off the old coat Amen. And I'll put on the new. Amen. Let me tell you something. I didn't have to wait. I didn't have to do anything. He said, look, he said, my righteousness is sufficient. My righteousness will make you whole. My righteousness will clean you up. My righteousness will clothe you in a new garment. You know what the John the Revelator, you know what he's seen over in heaven in chapter 7 of the book of Revelation? He's seen a multitude of people with white robes. Amen. You know who they are? They were to redeem the God. Amen. You know who they are? They're those that Jesus has washed in his blood, that Jesus has sanctified, that Jesus has claimed for his own, and that Jesus has clothed in those new garments. Amen. I said that when the world looks at him, they don't see the filthy old beggar, but praise God, and they see a child of the King. Amen. They see somebody that's one of his. Oh, look down verse number 5 as we finish out here. Whew. And the meat of his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers, and their apparel, and his cupbearers, and his ascent by which he went up unto the house of the Lord. And there was no more spirit in her. A vain man tried to enter heaven, but a door could not be found. Oh, but praise God. Thomas, I said, Lord, you're going away, but we don't know how to go. He said, let me tell you something. He said, I can show you the way. I can show you the ascent. I can tell you how to get there. I can tell you how to worship God. I can tell you how to get to the new house and the new home that are prepared for you. I can tell you how you can proudly wear your new garments that I give you, and let the world know that you're no longer one of theirs. You're a stranger and a pilgrim down here because you got a new address, a new dwelling place that I prepared for you. And she said, look, she seen us ascend. Jesus said, let me tell you how to get there. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. To go up to the house of the Lord to worship. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Hallelujah. I tell you what, in Christ Jesus, I've been repositioned. In Christ Jesus, I've been reclothed. In Christ Jesus, I've been provided for. In Christ Jesus, I've got a new home and a new destination. In Christ Jesus, I got a new name. And praise God. Woo! That makes me want to shout. Amen. Happy, happy, happy. Verse number 9. She says, be blessed. Be the Lord thy God, which delighted in thee to set thee on the throne of Israel. Whoo! Because the Lord loved Israel forever, therefore made he thee king to do judgment. I'm glad that God loved me enough to send his son. For God commended his love toward us. Amen. There wasn't nothing I could do to deserve it. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. And there wasn't no conditions for God's love on my part. His love is extended to the lowest and the most vile of the sinner in this world. God still loves him, and God still doesn't want to see him perish. Oh, but to the child of God, there's a love that's exceedingly and abundantly more than we can ask or think. I love that verse because it describes God, I think, more than any other way I know how to describe it. He loves me more than I'm worthy of being loved. He loves me like I can't understand it. And John said over in 1 John, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed on us that we should be called the sons of God. She said, God must have loved Israel. God must have had a special affection and a special affinity for Israel because God has set you on the throne of the kingdom. Let me tell you what, that's nothing, for there's one greater than Solomon that has come, and God must have loved me a lot to send a son to die in my place. Amen. God must have loved me a lot to turn his back on his only begotten son. When he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? God must have loved me a lot to make himself in the likeness of sinful man and to come into this world and to realize the awful agony that awaited him. It wasn't the agony of the scourging. It wasn't the agony of the cross, but it was the agony of a sinless God, the sinless Son of God, being clothed upon and being burdened with the sins of humanity. I believe that's what Jesus was praying. Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. What but love would have compelled the Savior to do that? He who had knew no sin became sin for us. Why? That we might be the righteousness of God in him. That's love. That's love. Nobody in this world might love you. But let me tell you something. Jesus does. No one in this world may care for you. But Jesus does. No one in this world may have done anything for you. Jesus did. And if you can't shout about anything else, if you can't get happy because of any other reason, you can be happy because he loved you enough to die in your place that you might inherit a home in eternity and feast at his table and not be a servant. I tell folks all the time when they say, oh, my loved one passed away, heaven got another angel. I feel sorry for you. I feel sorry for you if that's what you think, heaven got another angel. That's just plumb pitiful. It is. Angels are the servants of the glory world. Ain't nowhere in my Bible did I read that he made me a servant. When the prodigal son come home, he was restored to his rightful place. He's restored to sonship. Amen. When Jesus saved me, he didn't save me to create another angel and another one of his minions or another one of his servants or you know, just, and I'm not trying to make light of it, but just, you know, just an insignificant another being in heaven just to go at the bidding of the Father to do whatever he wants to do. But he created me. And he redeemed me. And he adopted me. And he made a son out of me. He made an heir and a joint heir with Jesus out of me. And I tell you what, you might not have anything to rejoice in if you're thinking about being an angel, but praise God, I've got everything to glory in because I'm a son of the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Greater than Solomon is here. And that ought to make me happy. Amen. We need to quit and go to the house. But man, we need just to worship a while. Amen. Hey man, we need to quit and go to the house of the flesh. Let's go on and let's get it over with. But praise God, I think we just need to give Jesus, I don't know, to give him a hand clap of praise, shout hallelujah, do something to let him know that you're thankful for the blessings that he's bestowed upon your life. Amen. Woo, praise him. Amen. Glory, glory, glory. Amen. He's worthy of our glory and praise. Stand our feet tonight. Amen. It's been good to be in God's house tonight.